I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Vicky Patterson's Secret 2. I am, of course, here with the lovely Greg Rutherford. Hi, buddy. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, I'm doing so daft. It's my absolute pleasure. Right, I remember what I wanted to ask you in part one, but I got so sidetracked because I was just catching up with your lovely self. We are both huge foodies.
Yeah.
And if you were on death row, what would your last meal be? What would your final supper be?
I always really struggle with this question because you do get asked it quite a lot, and I like most foods, like genuinely. Yeah. I will pretty much eat anything, or I'll try anything. Like, I'll give it a go, I'll stick it in my mouth and then sort of hope for the best.
It's my motto for life.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, all right, yeah, stick it in my mouth, let's see what happens.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, hope for the best, yeah. So I very much do enjoy a steak, like, so probably something like a New York strip, or maybe even a ribeye or something like that. The other thing is I genuinely love roast dinners, and it's something
me
that
too.
I pride myself on being good at doing. So as much as I love a steak, what I would probably do to substitute, because it's one meal, I'd have a roast dinner with all of the trimmings. It has to be everything, but then I'll do multiple meats as well. So
yes,
a bit of turkey crown, some beef in there of some sort, whatever else. Everything. Get it, all the meats will go in there, fully slapped up, nice thick gravy over the top. All the meats in my mouth. That's how I live my life. Meat in the mouth.
Oh my God, that actually made me so hungry.
Me too,
I'm now
actually
craving a roast dinner. Thanks for that.
Oh God, I'm just realised as well. So where you currently are now, you can't have one, can you?
No, I can't have one. I've got what have I got for my evening meal tonight? A seasonal vegetable tart.
It has been
fancy,
said.
Huh? But now all I want is fucking all the meats in my mouth. Let's move on to something less foodie before I go and search.
Well, you might just eat that microphone. That's what it, it could be a very large, thick sausage.
That's what she said. So how have you been coping in lockdown? Because I imagine your experience with it has been very different to mine. Like, I'm in a flat, I'm on like pretty much like Brentwood High Street. I've got like my lovely partner, but it's just me and him. You, on the other hand, seem to have an absolute houseful. Like, I feel like you name it and you've got it. There's like chickens, there's ducks.
Yeah,
you've got
cats,
fiancés, dogs, and children, and cats and dogs. How is it being Noah of modern day in lockdown?
Yeah, do you know what? I realise I'm very, very lucky. From the point of view of, I do live in the countryside. I've got a biggish garden that I can sort of dick about in if I need to. I've got a shed with tools in it, and I love tools.
So
and
manly.
Doing these, you know, it's like, you know, just like hammering in a nail or like cutting something a lot. So I think, and I've said it the whole way through, like for people like yourself, that especially when the lockdown was very, very strict, it'd be incredibly hard to be stuck in an apartment somewhere with probably just one other person, or maybe on your own, whatever it is. That's a really difficult thing to deal with. Whereas here, there's space. And when we were only allowed that 1 hour out a day, I used that to take the dog out and go for like a run or whatever. So I felt like I was getting countryside. I was getting fresh air. I could go sit in the garden if I wanted to. So it's probably been really, really different for from that point of view. And look, I basically became a chicken farmer. I effectively became a chicken farmer because we hatched during lockdown. We hatched 19 chicks.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask a pretty dark question? Are these your chickens for keepsies? Are they your friends? Or are they going to work their way to the plate one day?
No, they're friends. Like, I have no issue with understanding the process of meat and whatever else. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say, oh, it's terrible, whatever else. I know, obviously, when it's cruel, it truly is terrible. But I can't. I love animals. I do genuinely love animals. I also eat animals, of course, as well. But the ones that we've hand reared here, I don't think I could bring myself to kill them. The issue we face, and this is a genuine issue. So I've managed to raise a lot of cocks, and by raising so many cocks, I'm in a situation that you can probably keep a few, and hopefully the effectively their dad will just sort of not attack them too much, but not that many. So I'm going to have to now rehome cockerels. So, Vicky,
do you want
a cockerel for your apartment?
So this is a bit of a tricky one because I am obviously like a massive animal lover and God knows I've dated a fair few cocks. But I feel like the entire, like, my block of apartments would not appreciate being woken up by, like, an angry rooster. Roosters and cockerels are the same things, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So it's a male chicken. So, I mean, it will, as soon as it sees some light, so as soon as the sun comes up, it goes for it. And, I mean, the thing is, so I've got a neighbour over the other side of the road. They have a cockerel. Then we have about 150 metres down the road, another house, and they have three cockerels currently. Yeah. And then we have our main one and the young ones now developing. So it's there's a lot of cocks making a lot of noise early in the morning here. It's they're noisy
like,
cocks.
Just like Geordie Shaw.
Yeah. So basically, when I next come to see you, I'm gonna bring you one of my cockerels, and that's my present to you.
A personalised Greg Rutherford cock.
Absolutely. I hand reared this cock and it's my present to you.
I feel like everyone started up like a little side hustle in lockdown, like whether it's sort of like a little new Instagram account or whether they've started doing like Insta lives. I really did not anticipate your side hustle being selling roosters, but congratulations.
Thank you ever so much. So far I've not sold a single one. So I'm not saying it's lucrative. But
it's more about passion.
Absolutely. Hey, that's what I've found now. That's what I've found. Well, the thing, they're not quite old enough yet. I could sell them. I could, but I'm going to keep them for a bit because I really enjoy that. They're good fun. They're just funny to watch.
If anybody is listening to this podcast and thinks to themselves, God, like I actually do really need a rooster, we have an email that you can email into. It's gregrutherfordsroosters@gmail.com.
I've got to set that up now. I really have to set that up. That's a good idea, gregrutherfordroosters@gmail.com. I might do that. I'd be fascinated to see what sort of things I get. Because some of the stuff, you'll be the same. Some of the stuff you must get sent. And I always feel really sorry for girls in particular because there is like a breed of male out there that seems to be obsessed with sending pictures of their naked mole rat between their legs and passing it on.
Dick pics.
Like you must get a lot of them. I'm assuming you've seen a few of those. But I'd be interested to set up an email that's about cockerels and seeing what was sent to that email.
You need an Insta account, Rutherford's Roosters. Like, we need to get this off the ground, mate. Yeah. So you can have half of my Vicky action figure business if I can have half of your cockerel business.
You can have half the cockerels, you're down. You're in. This has been productive. I'm thrilled with this.
Yeah, move over, Jeff Bezos. I don't need Amazon. I'm taking over.
Oh, can you imagine actually delivering a cockerel as well, just turning up, just a pair of us there going, and here you go.
I imagine they're quite angry. Are they angry?
No, they're not too bad, especially at the moment. You can sort of grab them and pick them up. And what we've tried to do is hand rear as much as possible, so actually pick them up so they're not aggressive as well. But the mums, I tell you what, when they're laying, when they're sitting on their eggs and they've gone broody, they peck the shit out of you. Like, they go nuts. So... yeah,
it's like a protective thing.
Yeah, it is definitely a protective thing. But obviously, you're there trying to take them food, water, and just give them a quick stroke, and they're like, and they're like that. That's the sounds they make. I've realised that other people can't see me, So that's me doing hand and face actions, and people, all they've got is just my weird noises. So yes, they peck, and people, I'm sure, can imagine a chicken pecking.
So many strings to the bow, Greg. Like, you are reality TV star, you are sports commentator, you are Olympic gold medalist, athlete, father, fiance. And to top it all off, I actually hear you have a statue. Is that correct?
Oh, God, yeah. Yes,
you
I do.
You have a very expensive statue, Greg Rutherford, don't you?
Oh, God, yeah. It's a funny thing. Funny enough, so we went and grabbed some pizza last night. There's a really cool pizza place in Milton Keynes, which is really nice. And the road was closed how I normally would get there to come out of my village to go to it. And I had to drive past the statue. And it was, yeah, it's amazing to see it, like genuinely amazing to see it. Obviously, after the Olympics, different sort of towns and cities and whatever else did different things. We're all really lucky. We got golden post boxes if you won Olympic gold medal as well.
Which is
pretty cool. Yeah, so in
that's so fancy.
Well, in the hometown of every Olympic gold medalist, there is a gold post box. So that's kind of cool. And then Milton Keynes basically decided, because I'm from Milton Keynes originally. I live in a village not far from it now, but like I'm originally from Bletchley in Milton Keynes, which would be considered, no disrespect to Bletchley now, because again, I'm born and bred there. It's probably not the nicest part in the world. It used to be a lot worse back in the day. It's lovely now. Everybody in Bletchley will tell you it's beautiful. But they stuck the post boxes there, and then they decided to build a statue. So I've got a statue on a roundabout, because I mean, come on, it's Milton Keynes, has to be on a roundabout. And it's called the Leaping Man, and it's basically me jumping in the air. So if anybody...
Are you really happy with this statue, or is there any part of it where you look and you think, that's not strictly anatomically correct? Is there anything you would have liked to be a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller? Like, tell us, man.
Well, do you know what? Like, it's not like... Do you remember when Cristiano Ronaldo had that statue come out and it was like a bronze of his head, like a bust, and it was horrific? It looked awful. This one is genuinely... I mean, like, I know nothing about art. You can probably tell by the way I sound. But... I think it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork. It works, thankfully. Thankfully, everything's there. I mean, the way it's been done, it's a piece of metal sort of like grafted together in order to create the image. So it's obviously not my face and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, like, if that was on there, probably I'd have a few issues. But yeah, I'm thrilled. Look, I mean, I've got a 26-foot statue on a roundabout. It's nuts. Like, it's crazy. Like, that. When you come into doing things like sport, and even when you do well at it, like, you never expect anything like that to happen. So I'm like typically British in that way, and I get a little bit embarrassed by it, I guess. But it's...
Oh, no, be proud of it. I want a statue of myself now.
Yeah, I mean, we should lobby Newcastle County Council and then get them to get out.
But if you're leaping in yours, like, obviously that's your like signature move, what would I be doing in mine? It's like kneeling and smearing off ice.
Imagine that'd be a great one. Just like torpedoing it, like the straw and everything.
Yeah, for the lads.
Can you imagine? I'd probably be more happy with that. Everybody would just go, yes, that's a statue.
What a ledge.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just before we sort of wrap up, I really want to talk to you because you are such a lovely family man, aren't you? You've got your two little boys. It's Milo and Rex. Am I saying I've got
it? Is
right?
Yeah.
Yay. And of course, your lovely fiance now. I was going to say a girlfriend, but it's fiance, Susie. And how's wedding planning been going? Has COVID gotten the way, or no? Are you smashing it still? It's crack.
No. COVID has absolutely. Blown it for us on one level.
Oh,
so we're in a situation
sorry.
Where yeah it's so we were set to get married this year in Arizona,
right.
Because we like I used to train Arizona a lot. That's where I was based after the London Olympics. I was based sort of half the year in Arizona, half the year in the UK. And then Susie, we liked it. We loved it. So we thought, do you know what? Guarantee sunshine. So we'll go to Arizona. And then all our friends got on board and whatever else. Like, it's a really small wedding as well, like very, very small. And then it was like, well, I'm sure it'll be fine because it's not until October. And then obviously what's happened in the US is what's happened. And Arizona, sadly, now is one of the worst affected states in the US. So we said, yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. And one of my best mates lives there. So a guy called Steve Lewis, who used to be one of my training partners, he then married a Canadian girl, and they live in Arizona. So they live in Phoenix now. And he's just been telling me, like, it's not great. Like, it's not in a good place. So we moved it to April. And then we realized that even by April, probably it's going to be very difficult. So we've then moved it to next October now. And we'll have to see. I mean, the world is in a bit of a crazy place at the moment, as we all know. Aww. So us getting married is the least of people's concerns. I mean, like, just being safe and healthy is what's important. Yeah. So we're sort of saying to everybody, like, yeah, if you can, great. But we're going to push it back until it's a bit more feasible. So, yeah, so we've had to put all of that on hold.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Greg. That must be, do you know what? Hard to bear. I know that there's people's health are what's most important, but it doesn't make you any less of a human being to admit you're fucking gutted about not getting married. I would be.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that you sort of build up to. I mean, like, just the engagement alone for me was a nightmare, because, like, the amount of times I tried to do it, and, like, for whatever reason, things happened and it didn't happen. And then we finally got it done, if you like, to sort of make it sound a hard task, but finally got that out of the way. And then we plan it, and now that's obviously been moved. But look, it is what it is at the end of the day. Like, we can't really change it, and you just have to go with it. But like, we're dealing with the whole sort of renovation of the house. Like, there's a lot going on still. So there's definitely things to think about in the meantime. Yeah.
You've definitely still got your hands full, but we are thinking October 2021 for the big wedding. And I'm assuming the invite will just be in the post. Is that right? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's obviously coming. Like, we need you
with
there.
The cockerel.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. So what I'm sort of thinking is, if I give you a cockerel, you're doing me a favour there as well. So, like, of course, yeah, you'll have to come.
Why was the engagement so hard? I think you're like, I mean, I have got no experience, but I thought you'd be like quite a romantic, sensitive type. Why was the engagement hard?
I think I'm relatively romantic and sensitive and all that sort of stuff. So the issue was, so I got the ring back in December 2016. Or November 2016, around that sort of time, right?
Shit, that's so long ago?
Yeah, God, you would not believe how long I had this goddamn ring at the house hidden.
No, Greg!
Right, so
I
listen.
I don't know how you could do it.
No, well,
I can't keep secrets.
This is what happened. So, no. I had booked us a trip to go to New York, and I was going to do it there, right? So that was planned for, like, New Year's into 2017. And what we didn't realise at that time, that Susie was pregnant with Rex. Right. And then so,
of course.
Yeah. Susie then sadly suffers with hyperemesis and is, well, I mean, in and out of hospital in a really bad way. So couldn't travel, couldn't leave. So I went to New York with my mate instead.
Really romantic. You're just really selling it here to me. So how smooth and caring you are.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was, the flights were booked and so was the hotel. So what was I going to do, really?
Oh, definitely not stay with your sick, pregnant wife-to-be.
Oh,
definitely
it's terrible,
not.
Isn't it? And I keep realising as well, people obviously who are listening to this can't see my face. And there is very big cringe faces from me. So we did that. And then, so then Susie was unwell. And then the idea was that I was going to get engaged later on in the year, but then it was just difficult because she went on. Well, then I got really badly injured into 2017. Then I had surgery and everything else. So, like, 2017 was done. 2018, we then went to California and I was training still. It was like my final year. I like had to get my best mate to listen to this. Like, I was on the flight, like, taking off on my own, right? And I was talking to my best mate, Andrew, who is my best man as well, a guy called Andrew Steele, and he was a former athlete himself. And we had just been joking, like talking about, oh, I'm going to get it done, I'm going to plan, whatever else. And literally the last text I sent him as I took off was, oh my God, I've forgotten the ring, no! And then that just went.
No.
And I took off. And imagine, so then I'm like stuck on a flight now, for 11 hours, 10, 11 hours going to LA. Like, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, Andrew, because I was there for about 8 weeks or so, Andrew in the final week had to do some business in LA. So I was like, please, can you go to the house, go and get the ring, fly over. So he flew me in the ring. So literally he had work in LA. He then nicked down to Laguna Beach where I was training, dropped it off, stayed the night, left the next morning. I then planned a new proposal. Didn't happen. The children were being a pain in the ass.
What?
Susie was in a terrible mood.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I can't, like, I couldn't do it. So I had to travel home with the damn thing again. So it kept failing. And then, we went back to Arizona last year and finally I figured it out. But even that, I mean, it was a nightmare because, like, I took Susie hiking, and Susie's not the biggest hiker in the world. And I'd pick this, like, really...
It's trying to keep up with them big, long legs of yours. I wouldn't be a big hiker next to you.
I feel like the issue is, as well, is that I'm relatively... I'm quite a daring person, and I'll take a lot of risk. Mm-hmm. Like, I risk a lot all the time. So I, like, took us to this bit that was way off the beaten track, and I didn't really realise, to somebody who's not as confident about heights, standing on massive boulders with cliff drops either side or whatever else, it's probably not nice. She flatly refused to go where I was trying to take her to propose. So kept saying no. We then had like a 20 minute not talking to each other because she thought I was really angry. But what obviously was happening in my head, I'd gone quiet because I was desperately thinking, like, what do I do? I've got to find another place. And then we hiked around a little bit. And then finally found a place and got it done. So that was the nightmare of getting it done.
Got it done.
And then, that's how it was in the end. I was like, I need to get rid of this damn ring out of the house because it's driving me nuts. So, yeah. So that was the fun of trying to get engaged. And now we're having the fun of trying to even get married. So she'll probably end up just leaving me for somebody else eventually because it would just I'm a pain. We've had lockdown. I'm a pain in the ass. Like, she's like, God, this is taking forever. I'll upgrade to something better, the non-ginger version.
Oh, stop it. You're an absolute catch. And I know how much she loves you. So you're just a beautiful couple.
Oh,
but it does sound like you've actually had your, like, work cut out for you with this. I suppose, like, when you do eventually get married, and the deed is done and you're just in wedded like bliss, I think it'll be so much more sweeter because of everything you've had to been through to get there.
Absolutely. I think so. And look, the pair of us are quite relaxed about everything. Susie's not like we have to get married. She's not really, there's no pressure or anything there either.
She's not a bridezilla.
No, no way is she a bridezilla, which is really quite nice, actually. I mean, other things, though, I've not even sorted out a suit. I didn't even start, even though I was getting married in October, if this wouldn't have happened, I probably still wouldn't have a suit sorted yet.
And I don't imagine fitting all that in a suit is easy. Like, no, you kind of just walk into Marks and Sparks. I reckon you've got to get us, like, custom made for them thighs.
There's a lot of junk in my trunk. That's for sure. and that junk is very difficult to fit in. I have a massive ass. This is what people don't realize. I have a massive, ginormous ass, and it's like,
baby got back.
It is exactly that, and it's, look. It's years of having to sprint, train hard and whatever else. It just grew me a big bum and big thighs. And it's like trying to fit into anything is a nightmare. So, yes, I'm going to have to figure that out and genuinely take some time figuring it out as well.
Get this show on the road, mate. It'll be October next year before you know it.
I know.
I'll take you suit shopping. I reckon I'll be good at that.
Oh, let's do it. Let's arrange it.
I could be a brilliant best man. I'd throw such a good stag do. Oh, God, I'd be... boobs and drinks everywhere.
Oh, you're in. You're hired. Andrew, step aside. Vicky is in.
Yeah, it was a good pitch. It was the boobs and drinks. You seem like, although lockdown must have been really tough for you, like it has been for most parents, Jesus Christ, I can't imagine. You seem to just take it all in your stride, Greg, and you are a proper lovely hands-on dad, aren't you?
Oh, look, I love it. Look, and lockdown, I guess, was a good time for us to sort of spend more time. Because I'm always in and out of London. And before that, I was always in and out of different countries, it seemed like, for different things in order to train, to compete, whatever else. I spent a lot of time away. And what I found with Milo, my first son, and then going into Rex, is that Milo, when he was young, would only ever really look at Susie as somebody to help, comfort and whatever else. Whereas with Rex, Rex, because I was around a lot more, found it far easier to be comforted by me, and still does now, and he's still very young. So it's seeing that difference. It's so much nicer to be around them all the time. I mean, obviously Milo got older anyway, and I'm his dad, so he loves it anyway. But when he was very little, it was very different, and having more time to be around mm. them. And yeah, I sort of relished this opportunity, and it wasn't easy. I had like a couple of issues, a small health scare or whatever else during it and stuff. But it's like you have these little bits and bobs, and you deal with it. But again, the family is the important thing, and for me, like having that time, you realize how important it is around, especially the kids, like to have that. It's not taking away anything from Susie, mm. but I mean, like, yeah, my children are unbelievably important to me.
What happened, Greg? Are you okay? You said you had a health scare.
No, I'm fine. Thankfully, I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm sure. Absolutely fine. Yeah, but it was just like a bit of a worry for a while, and again dealt with and whatever else. And actually, thankfully, wasn't anything too serious. So, but you had to go for these things. And obviously, when you were doing that in a situation like lockdown, that adds a little bit more pressure and a bit more stress anyway. But no, it was nice to be able to be around the kids, and nice to actually just enjoy being around them. And I've realised now as well, I mean, I think you'll find the same, I guess, with the work that we do, we'll be probably less in and out of London. There'll be less people milling around. There'll be more creative things going on. And actually, we'll have more time for our families, for ourselves as well, which I think is very important. I think you're similar to me. You like a bit of solitude and like to have your own space ever so often. Like I really need that. I don't know about you, but I really need it at times where I just need to be in my own head and enjoy it. And so I'm lucky here. Like I look out the window now and finally it stopped raining, and I'll take Gus the wolf dog for a walk in a little while. And I'll get that time just to think and be on my own, which is really important. So it's been a great mix. And I've fully got involved with lockdown is trying to see the positives. That's always the thing you gotta do.
I think like you're not the only parent who feels that way. I think for single people it's definitely probably been a super tough experience. I think for like couples as well, we've probably been getting on each other's tits a little bit. I can't imagine the pressures that it must be being a parent, but I have heard from a lot of people that this like unadulterated wonderful time with your kids that you wouldn't have had we had a normal year has been a real blessing. You talk a lot about like sort of being away from your kids quite a lot, in particular the older one. Do you feel like out of all the sacrifices you made for your career, for athletics and everything, like that was probably the hardest one?
Big time, yeah. I mean, it was a really interesting thing for me. So Milo came in October 2014. And funnily enough, 2015 was my best ever year. Like, I mean, I won in London 2012, but actually from the point of view of...
It's your lucky job.
Well, yeah. And it was this weird thing because initially, obviously, you're knackered, like no bloody sleep, no nothing. But actually, your body adapts, you adapt. And it made things easier for me because actually I had a reason for it. And look, as sports people, and I still am now, like, I realise I'm a very selfish individual because you train yourself... Everything has to be about you and your body when you're a sports person, mm-hmm. because fundamentally, if you're doing something that doesn't benefit your body or your well-being at that point, it's going to impact performance. And as sports people, it's all about winning. It's all about sort of, again, you do these sacrifices for it. So you are inherently a selfish individual for certain things.
It's not like you're out there having late nights and smashing tequilas. Like you're out there like working hard. You're a national hero. Like you provide
no,
for
of course,
a good selfish group.
No, it's a good selfish, but equally, I can very much understand for any partner of the person that is the selfish one, it's difficult because it'd be situations where, hey, I want to go out and go here for whatever else. And it's like, no, not doing that because I've got to rest for tomorrow's training or I want to I want to go on holiday in the summer. It's like, well, I never had a summer holiday. You've got to think during my professional career, I never had a summer holiday because for me, my season started in May and didn't finish till September. So I never had an opportunity to do it. So all the normal things you don't do. And actually
no Magaluf with the lads.
No, I've never done it. I've never in my life had a lads holiday.
Oh, the stag's gonna be class. I can't wait to get into that.
Well, and you know what? No, but it's like those sorts of things. That, and as I say, look, I had my time where I was a bit naughty when I was younger, which is fine. But I've never done all that sort of stuff. I've never had the opportunity because I always had to say no. But then equally, Milo came along, and all of a sudden, I had a proper reason to succeed. But equally, when I came home and I just had this sort of baby here and turned into a little boy, my problems didn't matter as much anymore, if that makes sense. So if I'd had a shit training session or I picked up a little injury or whatever else, whereas before there's a lot going on in your head in order to sort it, get better, got to get it sorted, whatever else. Then it's like, well, actually, I can take some time because I've got to look after Milo anyway, or I'm watching him try and take his first step, say my name, whatever it'll be. That's what mattered. And having the ability to switch off, I think, was hugely important for my career because it actually probably revitalized me. I had a good 2014, but then 2015 was very, very special for me. So, yeah, having a kid helped me, I think.
Any women listening to this, if your ovaries are screaming, that's perfectly normal. Mine are doing so as well. Thanks for that, Greg. You're such a good dad.
Oh,
and such a wonderful fiancé. And whether you are like jumping really far and making all of Great Britain super proud, or whether you're like cha-ching all over with Strictly or cooking up a storm in the MasterChef kitchen, I think it is fair to say you give it your all and you just go for it and you proper smash your goals. Here at Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2, I like to finish by asking my lovely guest what their secret to something is. And based on the amazing life you've had, I think the listeners would love to know what your secret is to achieving your dreams. It feels like you've got the monopoly on that, mate. I'm not going to lie.
Well, do you know what? Look, I think fundamentally, no matter how anybody looks on the outside, inside things are probably slightly different. So as I sort of mentioned earlier on, I had massive body confidence issues, whatever else, when I was a young athlete. But I never really let that out on the outside. So I always sort of portrayed that I was the most sort of happy, excitable, whatever else. But effectively, I was blagging it, like, and this is a big thing for me. I think if you've got the passion, you've got the understanding, and you've got the work ethic. Look, the one thing I will always say about myself, and I hate sort of talking about myself, to be totally honest, I will try hard. My work ethic, I know my work ethic is good, because I have an ability with the way I can switch my brain, where even if it's hard work, it's hurting, whatever else, especially physical challenges, I can go past it because I know how to push my body, and I know that work ethic generally gets you the rewards at the end. But the one thing and I do stand by this, because I think we all go into different processes and places in the world, in our lives, where we sort of stand there at times and go, bloody hell, how did I get here? What am I doing? What's going on? Oh god, they're better than me. Oh shit, like, this could all go wrong for me. But fundamentally, yeah. And I said this actually at a leavers do at a school, at a private school, and they all sort of like gasped, all of the teachers and everything else at this school, when I said it. But genuinely, if you can work hard, if you can obviously create sacrifices, but fundamentally, if you can blag it until you make it, that is what will get you there.
Until you make it.
Genuinely, if you believe intrinsically that you have a chance, that'll be pushed on other people, and they will start to believe it too. It's worked for me. Look, the amount of times I stepped onto a runway with people that were far better than me around me, far more talented, whatever else, but I just blagged the entire thing, and I won.
You're saying you blagged it, Greg, but what I'm hearing is you believed in yourself.
No, do you know, and it
like,
is that.
You actually knew you could do it.
No, of
you
course.
You could do it.
And look, that is basically that, and you're right, that's what I'm getting at. Look, if you believe it, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that no matter what your dream is, it will come true, because it's hard. It's bloody hard. Mm. And a lot of things, sadly, people don't get exactly what they want. But fundamentally, if you work as hard as you possibly can, if you become a student of whatever it is you want to become. Look, my coach said to me when I joined him, the coach I had for the last 10 years who brought me all of my success, he said, by the time you retire, I want you to have the equivalent of a PhD in long jump. I mean, it's ridiculous on one level. But what he's saying is you need to learn every aspect of it. You need to learn every angle. You need to figure out how it works, why it works, and how to make it work for you. And I did that. And that became, I wasn't the best. I wasn't the most talented. But because I made sure I left no stone unturned, I had the ability and the chance to win. And I grasped that with two hands as well. People will sort of fall for whatever you project onto them. So if you look confident, they will think that you're confident. In your head, it might be going crazy. You might be thinking, oh my God, what am I doing here? But as long as you look and show like you know what you're doing, people will believe you know what you're doing.
Greg, I love that. But then, so just tell, you're just saying to people, believe in yourself, work hard, be a master of your craft, and you can realise your dreams.
No, completely. Look, and I don't want it to just be like whimsical. You, and I say it. You can do anything you want to do if you put your mind to it. Look, fundamentally, I'm not going to become an astronaut because I know I can't be an astronaut. I'm not clever enough. Like, I know I'm not clever enough. But there are things in life, if you work hard at, and obviously not everybody wants to be an astronaut. I mean, like, if you do, like, that's nuts. And it seems very, very difficult. But generally, most things in life, if you work hard, and you mentioned it earlier, like, for people, obviously, that work harder than... What was that? Go on, do the quote again because you're really good at the quotes.
It's hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Exactly. So you are like, you are brilliant for these. Like, you remember really, really well. And that is true. That is true. Working hard, there is no second best to working hard. Like, literally, if you are willing to put in the graft, put in the time and believe in it, like, you genuinely can do it.
That is such a nice message to leave our listeners with, Greg. Thank you for imparting your little pearls of wisdom there.
No, much appreciated. No, look, again, like, I'm just this weird looking ginger bloke. So, like, I mean, take or leave whatever I say, but it's, yeah. No, look, no, the other thing is...
My group chat would disagree. My group chat is a very handsome man.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It'll go off. I want to
get in this group chat then, because I could do with the morale boost. That would be lovely. But no, it's look, yeah, I stand by what I say, and I think generally that is true.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for being a guest.
No, my absolute
pleasure. I love catching up with you.
I know. Yeah, it was lovely to see you. I'm thrilled. Well, once all this madness is passed, we'll actually be able to go for a drink at some point.
Well, of course, we'll have your stag do.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah. Well, the thing is, now we've got so much more time to plan it. This is the big thing.
Oh, I'm gonna knock your socks off.
Man. I cannot wait.
Stag do to end all stag do's, just titties and cocktails everywhere.
Oh, and cockerels. And cockerels as well.
Of course. It's not a stag do without a cockerel.
If there ain't a cockerel involved, I ain't coming.
That should be your catchphrase.
Greg,
thank you, babe. Oh, what an episode. Greg's just the best, isn't he? And now you can see why I think he's the nicest man in the world. And now I can also see why he is, in fact, the housewife's crumpet. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're still, like, subscribing, listening to all the series, leaving reviews, doing all of the podcasty things that you're meant to do. And if you haven't already, send in an email, guys. VickyPattersonPodcast@gmail.com. We are loving receiving all of them. You're just the best. And I'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.